It's showtime.
Kincaid, 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. You know, I've had my fun, and it's time to get back to work. Happy Labor Day. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where we live. That, of course, is where you go if you're listening some other way. That's where you go if you'd like to be in the chat room. Participate in the merry, madcap, wacky, rollicking, zany, real-time extravaganza that is the chat room during the time in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 p.m. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid, and you're mighty welcome in there. And, well, right now, if you go to headon.live and you pick a screen name and a password and you jump in, you'll be greeted by Anatole, and you will be moderated by me. So that's because, you know, it's Labor Day, and folks need the night off. So there we go. But you're welcome to come on by. Do please and keep Anatole some company. And we'll see what we can cuss and discuss our way into this evening. I hope everybody had a great Labor Day weekend. It's still Labor Day weekend, by the way, because this is Labor Day. The original Monday holiday, brought to you by organized labor, brought to you by blood in the streets, brought to you by people who died in not that old age for want of a dignified retirement. Oh God, there he goes. It's Bob Kincaid, little ray of sunshine. Yeah, well, okay. But it's true. The reason we have Labor Day is a memorial. Labor Day is a memorial to the struggles of working people throughout this country who have had to claw and scratch and beg and grab and grasp for every last decent thing they have ever had, because the money doesn't just do nice things. Never has, never will. Now, it's made a little progress over the years. It's gone from, a generously applied lash to things that are more akin to, say, iron fists in velvet gloves. But the reality of Labor Day is that it is a memorial. It's a memorial to brutality, and it is a memorial to persistence and tenacity and courage and guts and grit. So that people can have something resembling a holiday at the end of the summer as we move toward autumn and into the brutality of winter in the Northern Hemisphere. in the northern hemisphere, because it's all backwards for people up, over, down, under. But this program is live. It really is the third day of September 2018. This program's not in the can or anything. I'm sitting here at 6.05 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, and hopefully you're where you are, and we're having a fine old time of it. Hey, how cool. Breaking news from Sister Carol Baker. Nike just made Colin Kaepernick the face of their 30th anniversary Just Do It campaign, and white nationalists are losing their collective fucking minds on Twitter. As Carol notes, good thing I'm there for them. Here's a racist on Twitter named Darcy. Well, I guess I won't be purchasing Nike anytime soon. And if you think that makes me racist, it's because of the men and women who sacrificed so much that allows you and I to have an opinion. Enter Sister Carol Baker. Well, Darcy, given that the protests have nothing to do with disrespecting the military, I'd say the IQ of the average Nike customer just went up exponentially. The men and women who sacrifice so much that allows you to have an opinion. Just not the black guy. Racist. Zing. Don't get on the wrong side of Sister Carol Baker. It won't be fun. You will not like it. Robert near Morgantown said, Colin's critics just went swoosh. Steve in New York says, tune in is out. Not that I know of, but sometimes it takes him a little while to pick the stream back up when I have to shut down the White Rose stream in order to... it's stuff I have to do at the beginning of the program. And when we don't do it right before the program, it works. But that is awesome news. I'm glad Nike did that. I still hate what they do to college football uniforms, but I like that. And that's, you know, one's a matter of taste. The other is a matter of conscience. We have thanks to send out before we get too deep into the program, because September has begun, and that means that the hardworking subscribers to the Horn are back on the job. Thanks going out to our buddy Steven in San Jose. Thanks very kindly to Renee in D.C. Thank you, John, in Talibandiana. Thank you very kindly to Gene and Ann across the pond. Thanks very much to Janice in Wisconsin. And thank you very kindly to our buddy Steve in New York. This is my Go Bucks end of the month, beginning of the month contribution. Well, didn't seem like the Buckeyes had much problem yesterday, even though they didn't have Urban on the sideline. So I think how's Ohio State not the team to beat in the Big Ten? I mean, it's seemed pretty obvious to me, especially when you compare that with the Michigan fans, the anemia that Old Blue seems to be suffering from. And apparently Jim Harbaugh hadn't found himself a quarterback. That was just, I mean, Notre Dame just pasted them. I mean, they tried to make it respectable toward the end, but thanks for playing. Here's your lovely parting gift. Oh, yeah, the college football season began. And, it began. I don't remember having that good an opening day of college football season in a very long time, if ever. But back to the thank yous. Thank you very kindly to our buddy of long standing. Thank you, Reggie, for jumping in. Thank you to Rocco. Hey, Rocco, thanks very much. Thanks very kindly to our buddy Paul in Arizona. Thank you, Paul. Thank you to Clarence, either of Philly or somewhere in South Carolina. We got to clear that up. Thank you to Elizabeth in New York. Thank you, Elizabeth. Thank you to Albert in North Carolina. Thank you, Albert, so very much for helping to keep the program on the air. Thank you to Rusty. Thank you, Rusty, for your subscription. Thank you to Lauren, our correspondent in far Alberta. Thank you kindly to Vernon in San Diego. Thank you to Peter in Austin. Thank you, Peter. Thank you to Terry in Amherst, where only the H is silent. Thank you, Terry. Thank you to Joseph in Washington. Thanks very kindly to our buddy John in North Carolina, Stan. Thank you very kindly to our buddy Smitty in Florida. And thanks very much to Kay in California. Thank you very, very much indeed. That's how we keep the program on the air. Let's see. That brings us to, this is the first program of the month of September. And with the first program of the month of September comes Shirley's Memorial Challenge. You may recall that we had Shirley's Challenge for several years that was sponsored by our buddy Bruce. Bruce, who should be remembered on this Labor Day because he was a powerful force of nature within the labor movement. Strong, proud, bold, progressive leader as a member of the as a member of the railroad workers. Bruce initiated Shirley's Challenge at the beginning of the month just to make sure that the horn could get off on the right foot. And so on the first program of every month, if not the first day of the month, a challenge goes out. Bruce passed away over a year ago. And my life is the poorer for it. I loved our, he never called the program. And he mostly listened in delay. But we had some Jim Dandy phone conversations. And when Bruce passed away, our buddy Laborman and our buddy Ralps and one other individual who shall remain nameless, wishes to remain nameless, said, "We're not going to let Shirley's Challenge go away. We're going to make it a living memorial to Bruce." And so it is, Shirley's Memorial Challenge. At the beginning of the month, $200 challenge goes on the table. If we meet it, the money doubles. If we don't, it doesn't happen. So it's on the table. Courtesy of Laborman and Ralphs and an anonymous contributor, Shirley's Challenge is out there and waiting. And I can tell you that We've already got a start on it. Thank you to the sponsors of Shirley's Challenge in Bruce's memory, and thank you very kindly to Pleiadian Express I think I know who that is. For getting us started. And thank you to John for getting us started. That takes us down by, well, that means we've only got $181.50 to go. Oh, goody. We've got, at least it's 50 cents. Not terribly confusing. Nobody wants to hear me cipher all night. But we've got $181.50 to go. And thank you to John and Larry for getting us started. Okay, that's awesome. And I'm sorry, $161.50. Thank you very kindly to Hung Like Jesus. So $161.50 to go to meet Shirley's challenge, and won't it be awesome if we can do that? And like I said, Jack in Shreveport tells me no White Rose stream yet. Head on .live, okay. Yeah, there's a thing that happens when I stop sending on the interface to tune in, and I think it's on TuneIn's end, it may be on the White Rose end, because Jack says there's no server, no stream yet from there. If I stop it and then I start it, for some reason or other, it causes the White Rose server to have a panic attack or something. But rest assured, I'm sending to the White Rose stream, and I'm sending to the HeadOn.live stream. And hopefully the White Rose stream will catch up at some point in time. yeah, we're off and running now. Yeah, it's college football season. Subject line, that school up north. Steve in New York says, I have to say that I do not find it good that school up north hasn't been good for so long. The OSU school up north rivalry, you'll notice he won't say Michigan. As Guy James refers to them, meat chicken. Jesus, you people hate each other. The OSU school up north rivalry used to actually decide something. I actually wish Harbaugh or anybody would get them playing worth a damn. Enough of my boorish, simple-minded college sports talk. Oh, no, that's not enough at all, because we got lots more. Connell Rand. People. Yeah. No, please, God, don't let him talk about college. I got to. Come on. I wait all year for this. And it was funeral all weekend, although it was some of the most interesting funeralizing that I have ever seen. I was ready. I was ready for college football to get going on Saturday. I mean, yes, there was ball on Thursday and there was ball on Friday, but damn it, college football is something you play on Saturday. And you know, maybe for little babies who were born, 10 years ago or whatever, who've grown up with college football on Thursday and college football on Friday to the extent that they even care about it, because, well, damn it, so many of them are probably, digging in the depths of some virtual mind somewhere. Is that just a moment of evil genius or what? Minecraft. You get kids to want to pretend that they're working in mines. What an idea. Jeebus. But anyway, it happens. College football is something that happens on Saturday. And on a perfect Saturday, you start out at about noon Eastern time. I can't imagine what it would be like to live on the West Coast and have college football start at 9 o'clock in the fucking morning. Oh, it would be glorious. You know, you start watching East Coast games at 9 o'clock in the morning, and you wrap up about, 10, 11 o'clock at night if there's a game, if Hawaii's playing at home. Holy cow. Yeah. So, anyway, the main, I had three primary focuses, foci, on Saturday, and that was first and foremost my beloved Mountaineers playing on the road down in Charlotte, North Carolina against Tennessee. Alabama playing Louisville. And neutral turf game in Atlanta between Auburn and the University of Washington. Oh, okay, so I'm getting some, you know, Larry in the chat room says, Bob, college football Saturday on the in the Pacific time zone rules. Oh, it has to. It has to. Anatole, you're not in the Pacific time zone. How can you say that? Anatole says, you start drinking about 8 a.m. on weekends. Well, I don't anymore, but that's the way it was on Mountaineer game day back in the student, well, the gravel parking lot in front of the football stadium. You got there. I had buddies that just showed up in their pajamas and bathrobes to go to Mountaineer games because they knew they were going to be going to sleep right after anyway. But the Mountaineers, anytime the Mountaineers play anybody, I'm inclined to just watch the game through the crack between two fingers and a blanket over my head. That's the way it's been for a while. But with the single exception of apparently not having anything in the way of a secondary whatsoever, defensive secondary, Mountaineers look good. They look pretty darn good, because they went down and they slapped Tennessee around like Tennessee was an FSC school or an FCS school football championship series. Which, by the way, the other game that I paid attention to, the university down in my old hometown has decided to play Division I football. They were a powerhouse in Division II for years and years and years. Tuna, the University of North Alabama. Tuna. Yeah, they're the Lions. I don't know why. If they should be, you know, Tuna. Charlie Tuna on the, you know, on the helmet. But anyway, no, they're the Lions and purple and gold and all of that. And I grew up going to their games. And they played their first Division I FCS game Saturday against Southern Utah, and we're holding their own pretty well. I gave up toward the end of the third quarter. I couldn't take the nasally play-by-play from the commentators. I have not since seen a score, but it was just fun to be so thoroughly immersed. And then, you know, got a little extra bonus last night. I thought there was going to be a slugfest between the U down at Miami and LSU. And LSU just curb stomped them, just gut stomped them, embarrassed them. You know, took the right half of that U off and just left it a big L with Miami. I mean, Jesus, it was 27-3 at the half. Then LSU in the second half, it put in the 18th string, and you know it wound up 33-17. But either LSU is better than we thought, or Miami's just awful, or maybe it's a combination of both. Mississippi State looked good. Auburn looked good. It was a close game with Washington. Alabama's a machine, and my Mountaineers, who play Youngstown State next week here in Morgantown, looked pretty potent. And Will Greer had a 5-TD pass day and burnished what have been called Heisman hopes, although, no, please. And his receiving corps, particularly David Sills and Gary Jennings, made him look really good. So, it was wonderful. And then, meanwhile, Friday and Saturday and Sunday were perfect, beautiful days here in almost level west by cold Trump Trumpjinistan. I mean, gorgeous. Blue sky all the way to space. A few little clouds showing up at sunset just to provide some paintbrush strokes across the edges of the evening. It was, and me, little old me, just running around in the yard and barbecuing ribs, smoking ribs, brining and then standing there and prepping them and cutting them and trimming them and rubbing them and then getting the fire going and then just fussing over them for a few hours. And they were good. Oh, God, they were so good. I'd been jonesing for ribs for about a week because last weekend I went to the grocery store and neither Kroger nor the Wiggling Pig had any. So they came in this weekend, and I went a little wild. If you want to see the food porn photos, you can either run over to my Hillbilly Elitist account on Instagram, or you can check it out on Facebook, or you can find it on Twitter and get an idea. But it was just glorious and energizing and pleasant, and the weather was fantastic, and just a wonderful mood to be in. And so by the time today rolled around, I felt like I'd had my fun. I mean, it wasn't the kind of fun. I guess it wasn't young guy fun, because it was all pretty banal, I suppose. But to be out in that warm sun, and yes, I, the whitest man in America, took my shirt off in that sun, and I did not get fried. I just got nice and warm, and a little bit of color on my shoulders, instead of just looking like the body double stand-in for when they were laying out the chute for the Johnny and Edgar Winters, They Only Come Out at Night album cover. I may not be the whitest man in America right now, but it was delightful. And I told you I had one quart of Dreamland sauce. I had one quart of Dreamland sauce that I had Smokey and the Bandited up from Alabama. Well, that one quart of Dreamland sauce is gone now. But, oh, it was good. And then, lo and behold, I was at the Wiggling Pig earlier today, and I saw that they're practically giving away pork butts. It may be pork butts next weekend if the weather's good. Because I'm going to I'm gonna wrestle every bit of warmth and pleasure out of this the remaining days of this summer that I can possibly get. Yeah. Okay. So Robert is on. Robert understands what I was saying about the offenses that are Nike's design choices for the University of Oregon, among others. I saw clips of the Oregon game this weekend, and my God, the Ducks looked like a bunch of highlighters running around on the field. It was just sad. But yeah, Robert understands. Thank you, Robert. You sent me a picture of those uniforms. Oh my God. You got to wonder if that's just a little bit off-putting to, say, a blue-chip recruit who's pondering different schools, and Oregon comes knocking. Wait a minute. I'm gonna have to wear high-visibility yellow
Yeah. by the way, Brother Deacon Asa, quit telling us how to rub your meat, Bob. Let's see. 6:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, and the program just corkscrewed into the gutter. Probably stay there the better part of the evening now. Can't be helped. Wow. Hung like Jesus with a question. You know they found 87 elephant carcasses in Botswana? That's about all of them in the wild, isn't it? I don't think so. I hope not. Jesus. Oh, that's horrifying. There's Steve in New York. A tear came to my eye with Miami's blowout. tears of joy. Those were not tears of pain. No. Meanwhile, oh, thank you to Steve and Ms. Karen and Little Twiggy and Little Cletus. We just took the buck and a half off, so that takes it down to one and 10 more. So that takes us down to 150 to go. Thank you very kindly on Shirley's challenge. Rusty says, thanks for being on tonight, Bob, and proceeded to take us down to the halfway point of Shirley's challenge. So we got $100 to go on Shirley's challenge. Thanks, Rusty. Thanks a whole bunch indeed. Oh, God, I guess I'm just gooning all over Larry in the chat room. Larry, quit picking on my canes and ducks, LOL. Well, I mean, it's not, the ducks didn't, it's, with the ducks, it's just a uniform thing, but I don't think uniforms are going to help what's going on. And it couldn't happen to a nicer guy, because the head coach down at Miami is Mark Holy Roller Richt, that they finally got sick of at Georgia and sent packing. And so now he's down at Miami. And, well, talk to a Bulldogs fan, Canes fans, and see how that all worked out for them. But don't you worry, he'll have the team praying for all they're worth, because that's what they'll have to do to get a win. Mm-hmm. But it was a lovely weekend, and I enjoyed it, and I was actually kind of chomping at the bit to get back behind the microphone. Because when you have a good weekend like that, it energizes you. And so I'm pretty much ready to go. And remember, this is just a jot it down kind of thing. When I open up the lines, do remember that we now have one more way to get into the program. The stress line is back, named in memory of the irrepressible, gone but not forgotten Bill, Mr. Stress Miller. The stress line number is 304-640-2829. 304-640-2829. And that'll get you right into the program. Once I pick up the line, you'll hear the audio going back and forth, and it should just be dandy. So maybe jot that down. That's another way to get in. And you know, nobody's going to say hello to you, or I'll just answer the call, and you'll hear the program. Okay. Yeah. Oh, and by the way, if you're a Penn State fan, you got something to worry about, because Appalachian State's a very good FCS team, and they just about went in and Michigan to Penn State. And had it not been for a long field goal missed at the very end of the game, they would have. And by the way, at least now, after what happened with Oregon over the weekend, we know where the Bowling Green massacre took place, because the opponent was Bowling Green, and yeah, they thumped them. But that's, you know, that's enough football talk. We got stuff to get into, plenty of stuff, as a matter of fact. No, with those uniforms, Robert, near Morgantown, they will not be in any danger. They can go out and dance Swan Lake in traffic, and no one will hit them, those ducks in those uniforms. You can't miss them. You could probably hire them during the off season for highway cones, but you know, never mind. It's just wonderful. I don't have weekends that good very often. And I took you do a lot more work. I mean, the work that you do to do stuff on the Acorn, you do the same work pretty much to do one rack or six. So because I'd gotten a fantastic price, I did multiple racks or slabs. I like to call them slabs because there's always that dirty little titter I may be in the palm of the goddess of irony this evening. There's always that dirty little chuckle when you say rack. But anyway, so I shared. I put together little rack, little rib care packages, and went and gave them out to friends along the way. And apparently they were quite well enjoyed. Arnold, meanwhile, says, I wonder when the NFL and college teams will figure out that robots are cheaper than players. Arnold apparently is steeped in cartoon lore, as am I, because in the Jetsons' future, football is played by robots. Mm-hmm. And they have trapdoors in their bellies and stuff, and actual Statue of Liberty torches for running the Statue of Liberty play. So that's pretty much my weekend, and I'm raring to go for this week. And oh God, tomorrow begins the confirmation process for Brett Kavanaugh, who with every passing day looks a little bit more like a vile little fascist wannabe. You know, mainly because he is, and mainly because if he hadn't been, he never could have gotten on the short list by the people who vet and approve white wing justice candidates for the Supreme Court, namely the Heritage Foundation. I doubt there will be much tomorrow in the way of fireworks in the Senate Judiciary Committee because it's all opening statements. So, on the Republican side, you can expect to hear about how Brett Kavanaugh never missed Sunday school and went twice on Wednesdays and bilious shit like that. And on our side, well, I say our side, over on the decent human being side, you can probably expect to hear considerable pushback against the 100,000 or so pages of missing documentation that the Republicans refuse to release, and what the hell might be in them. Remember, Brett Kavanaugh was an executive assistant to the president or some such during the regime of dim leader, the reign of error, back when we engaged in the deliberate slaughter in a war of choice and killed about a million Iraqi civilians, all because Dim Leader was feeling angry at Saddam Hussein because he tried to kill my daddy. Fuck Saddam, we're taking him out. Yeah, don't think for a minute that just because I saw W hand a piece of candy to Michelle Obama during John McCain's funeral Saturday, don't think for a minute that I'm all okay with W now, because I'm not. And it was, if anything took the starch out of my Saturday, sitting there talking about how college football was, getting to watch the first weekend of college football was a panacea. It was a way to get away. And the funeral of John McCain was, by turns, as much a political event as it was a religious one. And both W and Barack Obama, and even, you know, Lieberman, managed to say things that were directed squarely at the nose of Julius Geezer without ever having mentioned his name. There were valuable moments there. Barack Obama called him out straight up without saying his name, referring to backhandedly to things that, like, oh, the birther bullshit, and used words like mean and petty. W bemoaned the lack of civility we have right now, as did Joe Lieberman. But the fireworks were delivered by Meghan McCain, who, again, without mentioning Julius Geezer's name, walked over, poured gasoline all over him, stepped back, lit a match, and flicked it. And meanwhile, the orangutan was swinging a golf club. And you got to think that he felt the heat, even wherever it was on. And he was, I saw one picture, he was out in the bad rough. Yeah, he can't improve his lie anymore because everybody's watching him. I think his handicap's probably taken a beating. Yeah, Steve in New York says, Obama at McCain's funeral, I thought he threw some serious shade. Oh, he did. And it was unmistakable. But if you ever wanted a portrait of an obsequious, squirmy little worm, now, precious Lindsey Graham apparently left the ancestral estate down there at Smoldering Chode in South Carolina and came on up for the funeral because, after all, John was his dear friend. We haven't had such a friendship between since the friendship between James Buchanan and Rufus King of Alabama, for whom King County, Washington was originally, don't send the emails, I know, for whom King County, Washington was originally named. But no sooner had the blood ceased pumping through John McCain's body, then Lindsey went looking for a new friend. And apparently the new Fran is, well, Comrade Kumquat. One begins to wonder, no, I've been wondering for a while what it is that the Russians have on Lindsay, because he's been scooching right up against the Mar-a-Lago Mussolini for all he's worth. And he unfurled his colors, if you will, on Saturday at John McCain's funeral, because nobody in John McCain's family had invited Jared and precious Ivanka. Now, let's remember, we are often reminded that Jared and Ivanka are Orthodox Jews, and there's nothing wrong with being that, except for that it tends to be extremely right-wing. But they've got rules they've got to follow on what you can do on a Saturday, or actually, technically, if I'm getting the rules wrong, somebody will send me an email. Technically, what you can do between sundown Friday and sundown Saturday. And I guess you could probably get a dispensation for going to a funeral. So that's probably not going to piss off the rabbi or anything. But what was particularly disgusting was the fact that precious Ivanka was sitting there in the pews of the National Cathedral, had her head down, her phone out, and her thumbs clacking away at the little virtual keyboard. And she got caught on camera doing it. Like I said, the McCain family didn't invite her and Jared. Lindsey Graham did. Pathetic, isn't it? It's just pitiful. Lindsey out there wallowing around, trying to find somebody to serve as his protector. Now that McCain is gone, yeah, that's the word, Sister Carol Baker, Jarvanka. Yeah, we've gone from "Hold me, John" to "Hold me, mein Führer." Exactly. But I don't think if you're Orthodox on Shabbos, you know, if you can't roll on Shabbos, you damn sure can't sit there and text reassurances to your filthy old daddy out on the golf course because he was distinctly disinvited from attending the funeral. God, what kind of loser do you have to be? When people say, no, anybody can come, but not him. Reminds me of that wonderful passage from the original version of It's a Mad, 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 Mad World, where Buddy Hackett, and I'm paraphrasing, where Buddy Hackett looks at Ethel Merman, who has just been awful through the entire film, and says something to the effect of, "I try to get along with everybody. I try to be nice to everybody. It's a hard enough life as it is, so I wish well to most everybody, but not you, lady. I hope you drop dead." You reminded me of that, because he's sui generis that way. Sui! Yeah. And so he spent the weekend seething at the insult. But everybody who knew what in the hell was going on knew why you wouldn't want Marcus Aurelius at a funeral, especially not for someone like John McCain, because he would have insisted on being able to speak, and he would have gotten up and gone to the podium, and he would have started talking about himself. And it would have been all about him. And there's actually historical precedent for it. When his filthy old Klansman daddy Fred died, There were people who spoke from all over the, you know, in the real estate community and dignitaries and whatever from New York. And at the end, I mean, it is his siblings spoke, you know, did a nice job, whatever. And at his own father's funeral, Geezer Disgustus stood up and started talking about himself and how his father had always thought so highly of him. As horrible as Roy Cohn was, and he was horrible, provisions were made when Roy Cohn shuffled off and headed for hell to make sure Donald Trump did not speak. Because even though Roy Cohn had taught the Chlamydia Claudius how to walk and talk and act just like a blooming lady, he had distanced himself from Roy Cohn once the announcement was made that Roy Cohn was dying of AIDS. One of the Goddess of Irony's better uses of her mickle powers, by the way. And so the Saffron Socrates had to content himself with with a nice round of golf while everybody else was paying their respects to John McCain. By the way, Brother Deacon Asa notes, through the good offices of the Horn informants, I happen to have a copy of what Ivanka was texting during McCain's funeral. No, Dad, like, ew. Besides, I'm pretending to be banging Jared anyway. Anybody check those kids of hers and Jared's and just to see if any of them look a little bit like Donald? She's my daughter. She's my sister. She's my daughter and my sister. Yep. Forget about it, Jake. It's Chinatown. It's Fifth Avenue, Manhattan, Midtown, and they're borough billies. You can almost see him with his banjo there up in that tacky-ass penthouse. And shoot, you got a pretty mouth. Squeal like a pig. Scott in San Diego, do some more of your Lieberman voice, Bob. There wasn't enough to confirm my theory. At first glance, hearing it reminded me of the character Wallace Wimple on the old-time radio program Fibber McGee and Molly. So say
hello to my big old wife, Sweetie Face.
Well, that may be, you know, the great cartoons picked up from greater things before them. But for my cultural standpoint, that's a back reference to Droopy Dog.
Yeah.
Lee pointing out, by the way, subject line, improve Trump's lie. Trump's lie is so close to each other lie that it's hard to find the gap between them. Oh, wait, you were talking about golf. Never mind. Okay, early cowbell. Well, not really early. I mean, we're at 6 minutes before the hour. But continuing, Lee notes a quote from Pippa Middleton. There is no real need for decorations when throwing a barbecue party. Let the summer garden in all its vibrant and luscious splendor speak for itself. Oh, yes, yes, that's what we did here. Yeah, it certainly is. I did post a picture of that late evening cloud formation. It was beautiful. And it looked like the tree line back at the backyard was just erupting in flame. It was special. Lee continues, though, and says, the subject line, Sabbath. You can get a hotel near the funeral service. You can travel on Friday before sunset, walk over to the funeral service, and offer your condolences. You can leave the hotel after sunset on Saturday and pay the bill. Yeah, but what about texting during the funeral? That's what I want to know. Right. But, well, there's probably a dispensation. And besides that, I she's a Trump, for Christ's sakes. She's probably about as sincere in her conversion as I would be. I'm almost certain of it. I'm almost certain that somewhere tucked away in whatever tacky-ass apartment that Javanka lives in, that she's got a 16-ounce package of Oscar Mayer bacon tucked away somewhere there. You know she does. In regard to Ivanka, Steve in New York says, lest anyone try and say she's the civilizing force, this shows that that entire family consists of nothing but disgusting, putrid pieces of pond scum. It's only how bad at any given time that makes the difference. Mm-hmm. Back to Droopy. Scott in San Diego says, Bill Thompson, the actor who did the Wimple voice, also voiced Droopy. Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. It was a carry forward. Kind of like, well, the master of them all, Mel Blanc. You can find him all over all kinds of cartoons.
Yes, I know.
But no, getting back to what we can expect tomorrow, the chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee is, of course, Chuck Grassley. The majority membership includes the likes of Orrin G. Hatch, who, of course, will be in high dudgeon. Remember, Orrin G. Hatch has no morals whatsoever, no scruples and no ethics. After all, he tried to destroy a human being and put and helped put a serial sexual abuser on the court right now, and that serial sexual abuser remains on the court to this day in the form of Clarence Slappy Coke Can Pubes on the Coke Can Thomas. So don't expect him to do anything but try to get his head so far up Brett Kavanaugh's rectum that you can see Orrin's smiling face if Kavanaugh goes to sneeze. And Precious Lindsay is there, and there's already been photographs out there of him standing with Brett Kavanaugh in his office, and Brett Kavanaugh kind of moving from one foot to the other, feeling just looking just a little bit discomforted. Mm-hmm. Senator John Cornyn, the second most powerful man in the Senate, is on the Judiciary Committee, and he will probably be wroth at anything suggesting that Brett Kavanaugh is anything but Jesus' baby brother. Mike Lee, who pretends to be a constitutional scholar and actually wouldn't know the Constitution if it was held up in front of his face, well, he'll be another lickspittle. Given what's going on in Texas, I expect Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, to try to put on a show. He'll probably be sweating like a wax dummy at Madame Tussauds with the air conditioning off. That's usually how he looks. But he'll try to show off his Harvard Law bona fides. I am no longer impressed by anyone's Harvard Law degree when you consider the people that they've let get through their institution. Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, being one of them. Senator Ben Sasse will make an opening statement, and he'll try to sound all reasonable and whatever, because he's trying to carve out a niche for himself inside the Republican Party, in which he's trying to fashion himself as more of an Eisenhower-style Republican. All, although when it comes right down to it, he votes just like another white wing nut. Noted Parthian rubber-tipped arrow marksman Jeff Flake sits on the majority side of the Senate Judiciary Committee. Don't expect any fireworks from him, because he only talks a good game. He can't play it. All he would have had to have done is say, no, I'm not going to vote for this fucker, and all of this would be history. That's all it would take. Mike Crapo of Idaho? Yeah, nothing. Thom Tillis of North Carolina? Don't look for anything but lick spittling out of him. And then there's Senator John Kennedy of Louisiana Stan, who will try to point up the vast talents of Brett Kavanaugh. And not one of these little pricks, because you'll notice it's all men over on the majority side, will even vaguely reference the, for instance, baseball ticket thing where $200,000 or more dollars immediately just sort of appeared out of nowhere to make it possible for Brett Kavanaugh to pay off his baseball ticket to the Jones there with the Washington Nationals. Nor will any of these people be talking about the degree to which Brett Kavanaugh, who's such a goddamn highfalutin jurist, participated in a program that normalized torture during the reign of error under George W. Bush. Now, they've all said their kind words, and they've just buried a victim of torture. But they won't stand up and reject a man who probably was ears deep in the torture regime of Dim Leader. No. Over on the minority side, that side is led by Dianne Feinstein, who, of course, is way insufficiently ideologically pure. But when it comes to this, we'll do the right thing and vote against Brett Kavanaugh. Then comes Pat Leahy of Vermont and Dick Durbin of Illinois, who will also do the right thing. Sheldon Whitehouse, Amy Klobuchar, Chris Coons out of Delaware, who's trying to play the role of moderate, but will probably do the right thing. Richard Blumenthal out of Connecticut. Mazie Hirono may bring some fireworks. I expect, because of his presidential hopefulness, Cory Booker will probably bring his A game. And because she's apparently got some Pennsylvania Avenue thoughts of her own, Kamala Harris will do the same. But tomorrow, it's all opening statements. But the opening statements from the Democrats may highlight just exactly how disastrous this man will be for the future of this country. Yeah. And then the questioning starts on Wednesday, and I guess this will carry through. There are going to be 4 days of it. Because Mitch McConnell has no interest whatsoever in checking the abuse of power as committed by a man who is directly implicated in at least two and probably more felonies. The focus seems to be on Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski. The only hope we may have is that the ghostly voice of John McCain will enter their heads, and maybe they'll do what he did with the health care vote and do something patriotic for America. That's one of the problems with this hearing process. It's stylized performance art. Because all the minds are made up already, with the exception of a very few people. Susan Collins has already intimated that she'll probably vote for Kavanaugh because he said that he considers Roe v. Wade to be settled law, but that's a lie, because the Roberts Court has had no problem gutting settled law whatsoever. Just go and ask the corpse of the Voting Rights Act what about settled law. Or go and ask any labor union in this country on this Labor Day 2018. And they can tell you all about settled law, given what happened with the Janus decision. It's going to be an interesting week. There will probably be some decent sound clips to go after along the way. By the way, Lee in New York, texting, regarding a smartphone at a funeral, everyone should turn the phone off. Do not set it to vibrate. Do not take pictures. Do not record the audio. Do not let it ring aloud. Do not let it play any. Do not play any apps. Do not share images on the phone. Do not ask for the Wi-Fi password. Either you're there for the service or you're not. Your religious belief is irrelevant. You're there for the people mourning, or you are not. Well, Ivanka was not. Ivanka was there as a worm in an apple. She was there so that she could pat the tiny hand of her filthy, diseased, mentally deranged daddy. So that she could maybe keep him from nuking Bolivia in some towering fit of Trumpian rage. Coming courtesy of Sister Carol Baker, because there's some funnies along the way, too. Carol notes, on a lighter note, remember Barbecue Becky? The white woman who called police about the African Americans grilling in the park in Oakland? The full 911 tapes have been released, and they're positively delicious. Let me give you some of the highlights, Carol notes. 911 operator, are you living in the park or something? I don't understand why you can't separate yourself. Or, here's another. Have you ever been to John George? Barbecue Becky, what's John George? 911. It's a mental facility. Yeah. Let's check in on some of the live audio just because. Goes on for a little bit, but let's see if we can, we'll just start it and see if we can catch any dandies along the way.
Yeah, I'd like to report that someone is illegally using a charcoal grill in a non-designated area on in Lake Merritt Park, kind of near Cleveland Cascade. I'd like it dealt with immediately so that coals don't burn more children and our city has to pay more taxes.
Okay, and where is this again?
It's on Lakeshore Avenue in Lake Merritt near Cleveland Cascade, across the street from 2324 Lakeshore Avenue.
All right. And the person that's using the grill, I need a description of them. What race are they?
African American.
And how old approximately?
I'd say about 40.
Okay.
Or late 30s.
What color clothing is he wearing?
He is wearing dark black pants that are ripped and a black sweatshirt. With an orange logo on it. I have a picture of it.
All right. And how tall is he approximately?
He's sitting down, so I'm not sure.
And is he thin, medium, or heavy build?
A heavier build. More muscular build.
All right. And do you want officers to come in contact with you when they get there?
Yes.
Okay, and what is your name?
Jennifer Schulte.
And what's a good phone number for you? Okay, we'll give you a call when we get there.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Oakland Police.
This is 2 hours later now.
Hi, I called about 2 hours ago about someone that illegally grilling with a charcoal grill in Lake Merrimack. Now people are being assertive and they're starting to push me and shove me. I was wondering when the police are going to come and help me.
What's the address there?
I am right across from Cleveland Cascade. I called 2 hours ago at about 11:02 this morning. And there has been no police that called me back, and now they're shoving me. And
What is the address there? Where you're
Lakeshore and Cleveland Cascade, also 2324
Lakeshore. 2323
Lakeshore? 2324 Lakeshore. 24. It's in the park.
You
I'm making
my card.
I made a report in at about 11:02 this morning. They said there was send a police officer.
Who's yelling in the background? I don't understand.
I know. I don't understand. That's why.
Why is the person yelling?
I don't know.
The panic over a barbecue. I don't understand. Are you in the park yourself?
Yes, I am.
I acted like this minute ago.
Okay, so why are you in an argument with these people? Can you walk away?
They're in my car. They keep following me.
They keep following me because I'm following them. Not us either.
What?
Nobody has near me. You're the one harassing people. You're the one harassing people.
And the video we've got on the phone,
they've got the
tickets
all the way.
I'm not looking for
you.
Can you
step out near
me?
Okay, so can you get away from them? Are you living in the park or something?
No, I'm not.
I don't understand why you can't separate
They're
yourself.
They're following me. They're following
okay.
me.
Oh, that's okay.
I've been waiting for police to come for 2 hours.
For 2 hours.
Who is that that you're with? Who is that woman in the back?
I don't know who that woman is. I don't know.
I hear somebody that's with you.
I know she's not with me. She's harassing me.
What's your name?
I had please look up where the police were, the call that I made at 11:20 where I gave
I
all my
have
information.
It here. Just tell me your name.
I would like a police officer to come as soon as possible.
They're coming, okay, but look, you need to listen, okay?
I'm pretty scared. Hold on.
You're in Lake Mary.
Hold on.
Yes, I am.
How are they going to find you? What race are you and what are you wearing? It's a lot of people out there.
They have my cell phone number.
Just tell them they have your cell phone number. Just look for a lady at Lake Merritt Park today. You're going to have to tell me what race you are, how old you are, and what are you wearing. They will never find you.
I was told that when they are here, they're going to call my cell phone.
Why would they do that? They're coming.
I don't know. That's
now.
What the previous person told me.
You're talking to
that
me
would
right
happen.
Now. You're talking to someone right now. They're coming, but they're coming to Lake Merritt today. They're never going to just find a lady calling the police.
I'm in Cleveland Cascade. I'm wearing a dark navy blue sweatshirt and jeans, and I have brown hair about shoulder length. And I have people harassing me.
What race are you, and how old are you?
My race doesn't matter.
It does matter.
And
how are we
going to
find you? Yes. Any lady?
We're asking for it.
Telling, isn't it, that she can't say, I'm a white lady complaining about black folks barbecuing in the park? This goes on for a while longer. But that's it. I've already told you they're African Americans. That's all you need to know. Jesus, these people. I don't understand why you can't get away from them. All she had to do was start walking. Now, I've never been to this park. I've never been to Oakland. But I'm willing to bet that there's probably a whole lot of park. And she could go somewhere else. But of course, she's obsessed with a group of people trying to cook hot dogs and weenies. And what was that? Carol, did you catch that? What was that quip early on about, I don't want to pay more taxes? Did you hear that? Yeah, how very Republican of her. Clarity letting us know, my address in Oakland was 2324 East 6th Avenue, just over the hill. So you know the lay of the land, Clarity. Why couldn't she walk away? Well, because she, yeah, I'm not willing to go and sign on with this idea that she was doing it because she was mentally ill. Although I think it's perfectly reasonable for a 911 operator hearing the circumstances to maybe wonder if that was the case. Yeah, okay, there we go. Yeah, that's what it was. Thank you, Carol. She was claiming kids would step on the hot coals, something that hasn't been reported in that park for 5 years. And frankly, nobody loves barbecuing more than I. And I have yet to ever see anyone pour out hot coals on the ground and do a little faith-based fire walking or anything. And that and her, there it is. Carol's got it. That and her tax dollars would have to pay the medical bills of the child because the wrong colors was a grilling. Maybe this is just the natural devolution of our society. But I can't help thinking that we would not be here, and barbecue Beckys and pool patties wouldn't be quite so empowered were it not for the elevation of a white supremacist into the White House. Is that irrational? Is that an unreasonable assumption? That putting a white supremacist in the White House sort of served as a green light for people to let the racist portions of their ids just run free off the leash. Carol says, I couldn't stop laughing when the 911 operator asked her if she'd ever been an inmate at the local mental hospital. How far do I have to go to get to that, Carol? Any idea? Clarity says, there's a path that goes all the way around Lake Merritt. So by extension, all she would have had to have done was get on it. Right, Clarity? Well, I'm always happy to help. Hung Like Jesus says, the wrong colors was a grilling. That made my night. Yeah, Carol gets a cowbell for that. The mental health question is further into the audio. The cops assessed her for mental health intake at the park and determined she didn't fit the criteria. And then they have no criteria. No, she was just a woman infected with racial bias who was just feeling like her privilege was under threat.
What are you trying? White.
It doesn't matter.
Yes, it does matter.
I want the police to come. I've been waiting for 2 hours for
them. How are they going to find you? Have you ever... How are they going to find you?
They usually call your cell phone when they are here.
I'm talking to you right now. Have you ever been to John George?
There it is.
Tom George. It's a mental facility.
No.
Okay, well, then just answer my question. They're coming to you right now.
Well, where are they? I don't see them.
I'm going to hang
Tell
up.
Tell me where they are.
I'm going to hang
no,
up.
No, please. Please. I need help here.
Okay, I'm trying to help you. They're looking for you right now. You won't even tell me.
Where are they? I am at Cleveland Cafe. I am a white person with brown hair, a navy blue sweatshirt, and jeans.
You're at Cleveland what?
I am wearing
what?
Nike shoes that are white and gray with
you're
a yellow Nike
Cleveland
shoes.
What?
Cafe. How do I
Cafe. They're good
yes.
for them. When you see them, wave at them, okay?
I don't see any police here.
Okay, hold on. What is Cleveland Cascade? Is that a business, an apartment?
Cleveland Cascade is the front step across from Lake Merritt Park on Lakeshore Avenue.
Are those people still following you?
Yes, they are.
Do any of them have a gun or a knife?
I don't know.
They have black skin. Isn't that enough?
Is there any way you can get away from me? Are you?
They are continuing following me.
You've been for 2 hours in front of our barbecue for 2 hours harassing us, and now you're wondering why.
Please leave me alone. Where are the police coming?
They're coming. Can you walk away from them?
They keep following me.
I am. Oh my God. You're so fake. You're so fake.
They're so black.
Are you just standing there? Are you just standing
there? No, I'm not. I'm walking away and they keep following me.
Okay.
Can I have my car back that you stole? Can I have my car back that you stole? Can I have my car back? I'll leave you alone when you give me my property.
I'm just going to let you know I'm heading towards Brooklyn Avenue. And they're still following me.
Can you voluntarily give me the car that you stole from me so I don't have to deal with you anymore? I would love to leave you.
Jesus. What a Lulu. And of course, remember, she was, an environmental consultant for polluting organizations. No, really. Not kidding. We went over that. That's what she does. Maybe she's gotten a little close too close to some of the toxic waste sites. I don't know. Honey, they're looking for you. Clarity heard that, right? Laurel, she may not have been to John George, but she's definitely been to Paul Ringo. Yeah, okay, that's worth it. Yeah. So we're 23 minutes past the hour, almost to the halfway mark of the program. We have knocked down $100 worth of the Shirley's Memorial Challenge for this Labor Day 2018. Got $100 more to go, and maybe 10 new subscribers would be really cool at $10 a piece or what have you. But if we knock that out, that would be humongous. That would be tremendous. And a great start for this September. Steve in New York says, let me get this straight. First call, a woman sees a black family grilling. She's afraid of kids stepping, not her kids, Steve, just any kids, just generically afraid of kids stepping on the coals. Question, exactly how close was she that kids might step on the coals falling on the ground? No, really. 2 hours later, they're now just chasing her. Is that what I heard? Why were they chasing her? What was the noise in the background? The noise in the background were the people that she was harassing, and one of them was trying to get stuff from her that she had taken from them. She said, when you give me back my card, I will leave you alone. I don't know what this card was, but yeah. Has there been any further explanation as to what happened or is supposed to have happened? None of this makes any sense. Well, that's because racism doesn't make any sense, Steve. she saw somebody grilling using charcoal, and she decided that she was going to be a citizen enforcer, so she dropped the dime on the African-American group for using charcoal. And that's how this all started. I seldom like to assume the worst in people, but this really does seem like she just didn't want those people sitting next to her. It's not that, I mean, she was just walking around. She wasn't hanging out. She just saw them and dropped the dime. She could have kept on walking. But instead, she apparently remonstrated with them and then dropped the dime on her, which nobody likes, especially when they're not in the wrong. She wanted them out of her park. And she damn sure didn't want any weenies or hamburgers grilled by people, you know, the same color as the charcoal. And Steve says, the reason they started following her, I suspect she yelled some nice words at them. It was just in her conduct. That's how loopy white privilege can get. Lee in New York, they're following me. Her next complaint, she went out that night, looked over her shoulder, saw the moon. She tried to walk away, but she looked over her shoulder again, and there was the moon still following her. Send an astronaut. The moon won't leave me alone. I'm being followed by a moon shadow. Moon shadow, moon shadow. Get the fuck away from me! Yeah. Glenn says, been there. Started on Love Canal. Yeah. Wow. I didn't realize. So Glenn knows. Let's run over to the phones and check in. That might be Tracy. Is that you, Tracy?
That'd be.
How's Tracy today?
Tracy's sitting on her ass on the couch because Tracy works Saturday and Sunday. So she's like, "Nah, I'm not."
And it's Labor Day.
Yes, it is Labor Day. Well, actually, it's Sparky's fault that I'm sitting on the couch because first I finished watching Yellowstone and then I finished watching Jack Ryan. So it's all his fault.
Oh, okay. Well, I will alert Sparky that, is it a matter of fault or attribution?
Okay. Maybe attribution.
So how was Yellowstone?
So no. Yellowstone was great. It's one of those things, like, you know, I think you asked the other day if Kevin Costner is a good guy or a bad guy, and I'm still trying to figure it out. But the show in itself...
No spoilers, no spoilers.
No spoilers, like I said. But it's a good show. I binge-watched the whole first season, and I really enjoyed it. And then I watched Jack Ryan, and that was good. If you have time, you can watch it. And, you know, just sitting up doing absolutely nothing today. I made pancakes. I did do that. And I was thinking about the jelly that you were telling me about.
Yes.
So I'm, like, wondering how that would taste on pancakes.
Ooh, I bet that would be real good.
I think that would be really good on pancakes.
That's the Smucker's Fruit and Honey Strawberry Jalapeno spread that I've been babbling on about.
Next time I go to Ralph's, I'm going to have to look for it.
Yeah, I mean, if you say you've got access to Tillamook vanilla bean ice cream, you're going to be in a happy place because that little jalapeno works well. Remember, chilies and vanilla both come from originated in Mexico, and they were enjoyed together.
Well, I love jalapeno. Did I ever tell you about my watermelon jalapeno margaritas?
Yeah, you did, and I'm still not over it. That sounds real nice.
It's so good. And you rim the margarita glass with tahini, you know, the chili and the salt and lime stuff that you put on. Or do you guys have that out there?
Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Okay, so you rim your margarita glass with the tahini. And yeah. Yeah. And when I made the watermelon, I used my juicer. And oh God, it was so good. So it was fresh watermelon juice.
Ooh.
With the
Yeah, that reminds me of the one time I got watermelon gazpacho at a restaurant on Barracks Row in
Ooh.
DC. And it was one of those swampy nights in DC where it's like 8 o'clock and it's still, you know, just gooey and up in the 80s. And they brought me that bowl of watermelon gazpacho and wow. Oh. I mean, it just cooled you from the inside out.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice. So I just signed on to, I don't know, you know, something's weird happening with my TuneIn. Maybe I have to delete it and reinstall it. But for the last week, I haven't been able to get TuneIn on my phone. But fortunately,
your TuneIn just won't boot?
It just keeps saying this unexpected error or something.
That's not just with this broadcast, it's TuneIn generally.
TuneIn in general. It's not
okay.
No. So fortunately, because I guess since you guys changed to, you know, Head On Live instead of HeadOn.com or whatever, now I can listen to the live streams on my phone from the internet.
Yeah, it works. It works delightfully that way.
Yes, it does. Actually, it works better than the app. The one cool thing, though, when I would listen to the app, and if somebody called me or I had to make a call, it would pause the show, and then I would pick up from wherever, you know, I would be behind a few minutes or whatever, but then I would pick up wherever I left off, so I wouldn't miss anything. So, but that's, you can't do that with the when I listen to it directly on the internet. But whatever.
Yeah.
It's cool. So I was listening to the last part of Barbecue Becky.
Barbecue Becky, yes.
And so, you know, the problem with white women like that, and just, you know, white people in general, but
can you imagine how bland women, her potato salad is?
Yes, no Lawry's for her. She doesn't use Lawry's.
Yeah, she damn sure not going to use any soul seasoning.
No. But this is what's the troubling thing about these people is the fact that this could be a life or death situation. And this is what, you know, because fortunately the last two incidents of, you know, being white, black, you know, being in the pool, barbecuing, sleeping, falling asleep in a dorm, all those things, you know, fortunately none of that ended in a black person being killed. But there's always a chance. And I'm so sick and tired of these people calling the police just because, you know, I'm black. And like you said, because people, like I've always said, people have always been racist.
Well, at least since racism was invented, yes.
No, the lugubrious got into office, at least they kept their shit in check. You know, it was that nudge, wink, wink thing. They kept it behind closed doors.
Yeah, they kind of had to whisper among each other.
They kept to whisper among each other and all that. You know, but now, like you said, they don't have to speak, they just have to be white, and they can do whatever the hell they want to do, and it's okay. Because it's just black people, or it's just brown people, so what? You know, how dare they be in the park enjoying a day? As a matter of fact, my brother lives in San Francisco, and he works in the East Bay. And, you know, right after that happened, they had all these black people came together in Oakland and had a big old barbecue. And it was so funny. My brother he didn't even realize what was going on. He was in Oakland visiting a friend, and they happened to be in the park. And so they're like, you know, you see all these black people chilling and partying and barbecuing and stuff. It's like, what's going on? And then they were told what was going on. So he just, it made it even better to stay and hang out. He was just, but it's just, it's so exhausting. being black in America. And it's hard, it's bad enough when it's white people fucking with you, but then when we have black people, you know, perpetrating bullshit. Like, I think I told you about the pastor who did the eulogy for Aretha's funeral. The one that basically blamed black people for our plight in life.
Yeah, and yeah. But you know, you raise an important point, and I'll take it. I'm going to take it in a slightly different. It is very easy because of the number of stories out there of police behaving abusively, to think that they all are that way. They are not.
Right.
You know, not all cops.
No.
It's. I mean, it's the truth. Not all cops. So let's take somebody who's working her shift in the Oakland PD. Gets this call to go over and check out the hysterical white lady. How would you feel? This is, you know, take a walk in their shoes kind of a thing. How would you feel if you were that cop, and while you were over, you know, taking the complaint of Barbecue Becky, somebody got killed, murdered.
Right.
That maybe had you been over there, it wouldn't have happened. But see, the Barbecue Beckys of the world never think about that, because we have to play to their sense of aggrievement and their sense of privilege. You know, Carol Baker just said a few minutes ago, you reckon Barbecue Becky was economically anxious? And then, by the way, the people who were minding their own business in the first place, just trying to enjoy a Saturday in the park. Well, they got detained by the police for an hour because of Barbecue Becky. Now, I spent the bulk of the day of at least a half an hour talking about how much fun I had this weekend, just tending to my grill, and well, I sent you food porn pictures. You saw the ribs.
Yes, I did.
And just taking pleasure in not thinking about Donald Trump, not thinking about anything except how glorious the sun felt and the warmth and the light and the beautiful perfume of the hickory and cherry smoke going out the chimney, and thinking about how good those ribs were going to be. I got away from it. So you take a precious Saturday, and you say, you know what would be fun? Let's go to the park.
And
let's go to the park. Let's grill some weenies and hot dogs and sit by the lake. Hey, that's a great idea. Let's call our friends. We'll make it a thing.
Maybe because, have a couple of beers.
Yeah, right, because you want to, you know, you just want to, whatever it is that goes down that demands your attention and your time and you know, a hunk of life that you're never going to get back, and it happens Monday through Friday of every week. So you take a Saturday and you say, we're just going to make this about us. And the next thing you know, you're spending an hour talking to the cops who might shoot you because a white lady got pissed off that you were going to grill some hamburgers and weenies. You know, fuck.
Yep. You're just, minding your business. Just, you know.
And so that whole idea that we're just going to put it all away and we're just going to chill and we're going to hang out, that's down the toilet.
Right, because now you're worried about being arrested, thrown in jail.
Yeah, who's going to go my bail? Although
right.
California did just eliminate cash bail. Has that taken effect?
It won't be until next fall. So it's not until next year.
Right. So,
and
damn.
That's still problematic because it still means that judges can decide. It's up to the judge to decide whether or not you're a flight risk or whatever, which is still problematic.
Because there's still because issues of race and ethnicity will still probably play a disproportionate role in those decisions.
Probably.
Tracy, I'm trying to be charitable here.
Okay. No, but it's just, you know, it saddens me. And like I said, people have always been racist and bigoted and all that. But not until the last couple of years have I ever worried about my safety or my son's safety. I also worry about my wife's safety because she's a little mean Jewish lady. And, she, you know, she does, nobody's going to fuck with her. Mm-hmm. You're like, no, they're not going to fuck with her. And it, basically, you know what? I take that back about me, really, because even though I'm a black woman, I mean, I'm middle-aged, and I don't seem like I could pose a threat, but you still never know. But like I said, there's my son. And I think I told you the other day, Reza Bush was elected because he had a full beard and mustache, and he shaved.
Because he didn't want to be mistaken for a Muslim.
Right.
Because that can get you dead in a hurry.
Mm-hmm. That's like Bush and Trump. So, yeah, no. I'm just like, Jan just said they're not going to fuck with me because I'm a mean, nasty black lady.
As far as that will go, yes. But again, that's another one of the little demons that's been let out of the closet, you know, since
right.
January 20th, 2017, and actually
right.
since he announced his candidacy, coming down that
actually since
that escalator, and yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, and it's once he announced his candidacy. And when you started in with, you know, Mexico sends us, the, you know, they only send us, rapists and murderers and all that. And, speaking of immigrants and being blamed for crimes, that young lady, was it in Idaho that was killed by her family? Have you heard about her family?
Yeah, her family stood up and said, she would have been appalled to know that she was being used to advance a racist agenda, and don't do it.
Mm-hmm. And don't do it. Good for them.
Well, earlier, her dad had said that he considered the Latino population who was in his part of Iowa to be fully a part of the community, just like Iowans, only with better food.
With better food. Yep.
Yeah, that for him to be able to say something like that under those circumstances was kind of amazing.
I don't know if I could have. You know, people, we always say, you know, how we're going to act if we were in the same situation as, you know, those people, that father. But we don't know. We hope that we would be our better selves, that if anything as tragic as that happened to us or whatever, that we would be our better selves and we wouldn't, you know, resort to, you know, like Trump having, when he was just before or after he was running, of people who, you know, who were killed by, you know, immigrants or whatever, up on stage saying, you know, doing exactly what that man said he shouldn't do, using his daughter's death as a way to, you know, extend a racist agenda. So, yeah, thank God for him. I just, like I said, I don't know, but I just don't know. But I know. Scrap that. I do know. There's no way in hell that I would blame every Hispanic person for anything because of one person. I mean, what amazes me is how when it's a Hispanic person or a Muslim or a black person, when one of us, you know, people of color does something wrong, it's the entire race or it's the entire culture. But nobody ever says it's, you know, when it's a white person that it's the entire race. Because that, you know, because usually that person is, you know, is suffering from, you know, mental illness or something like that. this, I love the double standard of this country. It's just that nobody could do anything. Only when it's right. I was talking to some of my customers yesterday. We were talking about Aretha's funeral and, you know, about everything people said about Trump. And we were just talking about, in general, how the difference is when a white person commits a crime and a black person commits a crime. And we were talking about the kid in South Carolina, was it, that walked into the church and killed all those black people, and then they took him
to Burger King.
Because we were saying how it's amazing how much patience the cops have when it's a white suspect as opposed to when it's a black person, you know, Tamir Rice. How long did it take for him to kill that little boy? 30 seconds before he just pulled up and shot him. You know, George Zimmerman and all the it's so many of them now that I can't name them all. Speaking of Trayvon Martin, has anybody been watching Rest in Power, the Trayvon Martin story?
What network's that on?
It's on Paramount.
Okay, I'll have to check and see if I've. And that used to be the what, CW?
It used to be Spike, I think.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Spike. Okay. I didn't know that was out. So, I'll have to take a watch.
Yeah, I only watched a little bit of it because I can only watch those stuff like that in parts because it just upsets me so.
Yeah.
But it's just George Zimmerman killed that boy in cold blood. And it just leads to, you know, that stand your ground. And it's like the story that I sent you, you know, it applies to white people, but doesn't apply to black women. So this is the third black woman who's in jail for, you know, well, this one, she actually killed the guy. Her husband, you know, I guess she's in Alabama. She had a restraining order against her husband. He violated a restraining order. He came onto her property, and she shot and killed him. Should be, you know, cut and dry, right? She should be okay.
Under the laws, you would think.
State of Alabama.
You'd be wrong.
It's a stand your ground state, but it doesn't matter. She's in jail for defending herself. When does the stand your ground law work?
Well, it's that invisible ink problem we were talking about, Tracy.
Oh, right.
See, melanin in your skin prevents you from being able to read certain words that are written in that sort of invisible ink. So it's not stand your ground. It's stand your white ground.
Right.
The white space on the between the your and ground is meant to be read as white. Stand your white ground.
Oh, stand your white ground. Okay. So enough of this. So tell me how your ribs turned out.
Oh, they were fantastic.
So what did you guys have for sides?
Oh, what sides?
You just ate the ribs? You didn't have, like, you know, potato salad or coleslaw or anything?
No. That's too much fooling around. I wanted Bob want meat. Bob want meat. Bob want sauce. Yeah. It was a... So, you know, snacked on some chips and dips and dip and stuff, you know, while we were waiting. But, you know, it was about the meat.
So, no potato salad?
No potato salad. Because then they'd take away my West Virginia card because I'd actually season it.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Speaking of West Virginia card, though, I got one for you.
Okay.
Agnes showed this to me, and then Carol pointed this out to me as well. File this under white people. File it under the subheading hillbillies, and the subheading on dope.
Oh, no.
And this is a story that comes out of the county where once upon a time, long, long ago, I heard a little toe-headed boy holler into the house calling for Uncle Daddy. That's a real thing. It's the story of Robert Dickerson and Allison Burgess of Spencer, West Virginia, who got busted in a traffic stop. Now, I'll tell you the end of the story first. Robert Dickerson is cooling his heels in the Western Regional Jail on a 52 awaiting somebody to go a $52,000 bond, which would be a $5,200 upfront, you know, if you want to pay a bondsman. Ms. Burgess, Allison Burgess, she's at the same jail being held on $12,000 bond. Well, they were toddling along down the highways and byways of almost level West by Coltrump, Virginia Stan, when they got pulled over. I guess they did something to create some probable cause to make the officer want to stop them, and they got stopped down in a little town between Charleston and Huntington called Milton. Basically in the, I think that's in Putnam County, more toward Cabell County, down in the, roughly in the Taze Valley area. The Taze Valley is actually the river valley of the great river that once flowed east-west across Pangaea before the continents split up.
Okay.
That's just a little geologic trivia. But they got pulled over, and I'm looking at their photos, and they kind of look like rolling probable cause. Robert Dickerson looks like, what's his name? Sam from, you know, Big Lebowski with the mustache and, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, if he'd been on a bender for about 4 weeks.
Ooh.
With, you know, a long-ass old man mullet, you know, kind of. But I'm looking at the picture. He looks like he's probably my age, but, you know, in truth, he's probably about 29. I don't know. But they got pulled over, and when the cops searched, they found several grams, as the news story puts it, of methamphetamine and Suboxone and some scales and bongs, multiple bongs, and a whole bunch of cash.
Ooh, how much cash?
They don't say in this story.
Oh.
But so they were arrested, and Robert Dickerson was charged with possession of a controlled substance with intent to deliver, conspiracy, speeding, and driving on a suspended license. We're talking about a real winner here. And then there's Allison. Well, Allison got tagged with possession of a controlled substance with intent to deliver, a felony, and felony conspiracy. And so it wouldn't be in much of it. That's, you know, that's just Saturday night in West Virginia. Hey, honey, let's go drive 150 miles and run some meth for somebody. But here's what makes it a story. Allison Burgess was also charged by the West Virginia Department of Natural Resources with possession of a baby squirrel.
What?
Yep.
Possession of a baby squirrel?
Mm-hmm. Well, okay, so the conversation goes, hey, baby, you want to go run some meth and Suboxone and maybe some bongs and stuff? I mean, I don't got no license or nothing, and we'll probably drive way too fast, but, you know, hell, let's live a little. And Allison says, well, sure, baby, but only if I can bring the baby squirrel. I know.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. I know. Now, me, I'm figuring when you take into account the way they look, and yes, I'm judging them based upon their appearance because I'm horribly shallow that way. I'm figuring the baby squirrel was the brains of the outfit. No, the baby squirrel was the brains of the outfit. Hey, y'all sure y'all want to do this? I mean, I don't have to go. I could just stay back here and hang out in the cage and stuff.
Right.
You're in this too deep, baby squirrel. You're going with us. Oh man. This may be a story for another day, but Clarity says that's right out of my brother's playbook, except the squirrel part.
What is the rat?
It's the squirrel that makes it art. That's what makes it art, Tracy.
Mm. Oh my God, I can't with people. I just can't. These are the same kind of people that would have a pet raccoon.
You could be sitting around. Look, Spencer, West Virginia is a pretty dull damn place any day of the week. Unless it's the Black Walnut Festival, which only happens for a week in October. And so, you know, hey, here's our choice. We can go out and we can sit around and not get busted and just vibrate on meth, or we can go out and go ass wild and take the baby squirrel out for, you know, baby squirrel hadn't been having a lot of fun lately. Baby squirrel needs to get out and around some. Can we name the baby squirrel Rocky?
Yes, of course, the flying squirrel.
Because you just know baby squirrel when baby squirrel was watching all this going down, it's straight out of Bullwinkle again. Hey Rocky, watch me pull some meth out of my hat. Again! Almost heaven, West Virginia. Exploding meth labs, baby squirrels in prison. Life is weird there. Weirder than you know.
A baby squirrel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't squirrels have like rabies and stuff like that?
Oh, tularemia, all kinds of stuff. But baby, they're so cute. Can't I keep it? Well, all right, Ellie Mae. Jethro and Ellie Mae go on a meth run. Glenn tells me I worked with a bunch. Glenn tells me I worked with a bunch of guys from Spencer. Then you know, Glenn, you know. Did they ever take you to Spencer? You don't want to go to Spencer, Tracy.
No, it doesn't sound like a place. Actually, it doesn't even sound like a place that I would be welcome.
Let me say no. You would not be. I think there are two black people in all of that county. And that's only because they can't get a ride out.
Because they can't get a ride out. They can't get a ride out. So while we were talking, when you said white people, I actually Googled white people. And just so happens, I found an article I'm going to send it to you. It's called, in the New York Times Magazine, it's called White People Are Noticing Something New, Their Own Whiteness. It's by somebody named Emily, and I'm probably going to mess up her name, Bazelon. But she writes, it's so funny, where is it? And she mentions 3 things about you know, things that white people talk about, you know, are known as for is under-seasoning their food and bad potato salad.
You know, there's, and it's, it, the sad thing is it's a generational thing because it didn't all, it didn't, man, when the little old blue-haired ladies in the basement of the Baptist church were making the potato salad, it was good potato salad.
It was good.
It had, it had chopped up sweet pickles in it or dill pickles, and it had celery and onions, and it was mustard. It had a mustard base and some mayonnaise. That's what makes it creamy. And, you know, they'd always lay on a heavy hand with the paprika on the top of the bowl so that when you dug in, you got some paprika flavor going on in there. And then something happened.
What happened? Miracle Whip?
No, it's like the country got hit with a boring ray. Pod people or something. Because, I mean, you know what it is? This may be an unfair, this may be a matter of unfairly accusing Karen of not knowing how to make potato salad. Because I know where to find the dullest, most boring, unappetizing potato salad on earth. And it comes in,
really?
It comes in tubs.
Oh, the tubs, yes.
And you buy it at Walmart. And so what I think we're dealing with here, my goodness, okay, there's probably somebody can get their PhD in anthropology doing a dissertation on this. We're not dealing with an inability to cook and season on Karen's part. We're dealing with dishonesty on Karen's part. Because Karen, yeah. Karen goes, she knows she's got to bring something, but she can't really cook because mama never taught, mama never teached her. She never learned. And so she goes to Walmart and she buys that big tub of god awful, deadly dull potato salad, brings it home,
horrible.
Puts it in a Tupperware bowl from under her kitchen counter. Puts the lid on it and takes it and takes it to the function, the do, the event, the whatever, and claims it as her own. Never realizing, of course, because she
macaroni and cheese.
Yeah, she's not gonna eat any of it anyway. Karen's counting carbs.
You know, Karen, just bring soda and put paper plates and napkins.
And by the way, Karen, this is not a generic gooning on all Karens. There are wonderful Karens out there. I know several of them. One of them is the lovely Ms. Karen, who has been in matrimonial bliss with all around great guy Steve from Georgistan for many years now. And I am not casting aspersions on her potato salad because I bet if Ms. Karen sets out to make potato salad, it'll be righteous. But that crap from that crap and let me let up off of Walmart a little bit. The potato salad in a tub at Kroger's blows too, and it sucks at Food Lion, and it sucks at Aldi.
Any potato salad in a tub is gross.
Because
it doesn't matter what store.
Because you know we can talk about it not being seasoned. We could talk about it having no flavor. But you know the one thing that differentiates that potato salad? The one thing that makes it suck? It doesn't have any love in it.
No.
Because if you're making food for a funeral or to bring by a house where somebody's aggrieved, you know, where there's grieving folks, you got to make that. because that's what shows that you care. That you put out an effort. Not that you went to Walmart or Aldi or Kroger's or wherever, but that you cared enough to set your hand to something as an act of love. You know, there's that whole, second chapter of Acts, it's 1 Corinthians 13, 2 Corinthians walk into a bar. The love chapter, it's 1 Corinthians 13. If I have not love, I am as a sounding brass. Well, and we can add to that all that list that St. Paul allegedly pulls together there. We can add, and if I have not love, my potato salad is going to suck.
It's going to suck.
So, yeah. And the funny thing is, in any cultural tradition, there is always going to be because I remember once an entree into friends who were Jewish, and this little white Southern Baptist boy had never had Kugel, and to this day
never had Kugel.
To this day, I am ruined for Kugel.
Yeah, once you've had it.
Because I had the family aunt's Kugel, and it was bland and boring and dull, and might as well have been flavored with wallpaper paste. And so that is my forever. And I've been told reliably that it's quite delicious. But this stuff was awful, and it was legendary within the family. It's like, oh God, the holidays are coming. She's gonna bring the Kugel. Fuck. And so I've never to this day had good Kugel. I know it exists, but I've never had it. And the mere mention of the word Kugel conjures up that stuff. I mean, I had a mouthful of it, and my taste buds were just going, what?
What?
What? There's nothing here. Are we eating cotton balls for dinner now, Bob?
No. Nothing worse than getting bad food. And then, like you said, could you imagine somebody that's never been to this country before, right? And they're at one of these functions. And they have, you know, Karen's potato salad from Kroger or Ralph's or whatever. And like you said, once they eat that, they'll never eat potato salad again. Because it'll be in their memory. It's like, oh my God, is this what potato salad tastes like?
Yeah, and see,
you know,
it, with just a little bit of creativity, for instance, I didn't realize it until I saw it. And the minute I saw it, I bought it. You know, it used to be if you wanted to buy ranch dressing mix, I hate bottled ranch. Awful, yucky. So when we make ranch around here, we get the mayo and the buttermilk out, whip it together, put the ranch mix in it, and then it's awesome. You could, it's its own food group on the food pyramid. But now they make ranch dressing mix in like the shake it. It's like a bottle of it. And it's just a dry mix, and there's lots and lots of it in there. And you can salvage Walmart potato salad with a good shake of ranch dressing mix, leave it alone for a couple of hours, and people are going, fuck, this is great.
He lost me, you know, with ranch dressing, right?
Yeah, I know. There's a reason ranch dressing's what?
Now I love blue cheese dressing. I don't know. I just can't. Maybe it's because, and you know, we know my history of mayonnaise, and I'm slowly beginning to eat mayonnaise. But it's just, I can't. I don't like ranch dressing. I don't know what it is about ranch dressing.
It's probably because you have not had good. If you like blue cheese, the ranch dressing. What? But the crap that's in a bottle, or that you get. You want some ranch dressing with your McNuggets? That stuff's toxic goo. And it doesn't even taste like ranch dressing tastes.
Well, you know what? Jan loves ranch dressing. I guess she does the same thing. She, I buy, you know, Hidden Valley ranch dressing in the packet, and she makes it up. Because I think I told you, we do once a week or so, I do a salad bar thing. And I, grilled some chicken and cut up, romaine lettuce and tomatoes, olives, beets and stuff. And, she has it. Yeah. Oh, have you ever had, those little mozzarella cheese balls?
Oh, yeah.
We get those too.
Yeah.
You guys have, because
for a little while, we had an olive bar at our Kroger's.
It went away.
Yeah, because there wasn't enough hillbillies wanted to eat that stuff.
Yeah, no, we have the.
They had the Castelvetrano arsenical green olives and salt cured olives and the olives in the oil and plain old Kalamatas.
The one with the blue cheese stuff in them?
Oh, hell yeah. No, now, that I can get on the shelf, and I can rip through that no time flat. But they had the little sweet hot cherry peppers that were stuffed with mozzarella and were sitting marinated. Whoo!
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that went away in a hurry.
We had a party a while ago, and I bought a bunch of those. I went to the olive bar or whatever and got a bunch of those olives. Oh, do they have the roasted garlic too?
Oh, yes. Yep.
Oh, yeah.
And the jalapeno stuffed olives are one of my favorites.
Oh, not only do we have an olive bar, but we have a cheese, it's a cheese counter. And they have artisanal cheeses from all over the world. And it's just, so you got the olive bar and then you got the cheese. And it's actually somebody that's in there and they're always having samples of, different cheeses and all this sort of stuff. And it's wonderful. It's one of those things where, what I think about is as bad as things are going in this country, we're not in Syria. And I think about, just the fact that I'm sitting on my couch talking to you. And watching TV, and I was watching the Jack Ryan thing today, and I was just thinking about the people in the Middle East and what they're going through because of a lot of it because of American policies over there and people coming, oil companies coming, and basically stealing their lands and stealing their reserves and war and all this. And what they're trying to do to get out of this country, out of their countries, and I'm just watching this. I mean, I know it was fictionalized, but I can only imagine what is really going on there. We have it so good in comparison.
Yeah, we're sitting here talking about the our potato salad sufferings, Tracy.
Right.
No doubt.
Exactly.
Right, yeah.
We have it, it makes me sad when I watch stuff like this because I think about, these people who are trying to get away, trying to get into the country, trying to get to America or Europe or whatever. And because of this, lugubrious leech, with the Muslim ban and all this, the only thing they're trying to do is just get a taste of freedom. Get that taste of sitting at home watching television or going to the park and barbecuing or whatever the case may be. But because, walking their kids to school and because there is such a thing as school for their daughters. The things that we don't even think about, these people just want those things. And I don't understand, and it just kills me because of how racist and horrible this white supremacist is. He really feels that this country is only for white people. And just this crazy hate. I don't know who he hates the worst, Muslims or Mexicans or anybody Hispanic. Because, well, you know, like you said, with the latest thing about, you know, denying people, you know, American citizens' passports because, you know.
Well, and of course, you know, what did he spend Labor Day doing? Well, first he tweeted that American workers are doing better than they've ever done. Carol wasn't having none of that and blistered his ass.
What did Carol do?
She just very simply, in very simple and businesslike fashion, pointed out what her world had been years ago when she entered the workforce and what it's been since he got into office and, say, you know, drove her health care premiums through the freaking roof.
Right.
Having done that, he went for the gusto and start on Labor Day. He decides to attack the president of the AFL-CIO. No, really. Yeah, I wish I was kidding. Because Rich Trumka, who used to be the head of the UMWA before Cecil Roberts, and then went on to be the head of the AFL-CIO. Trump said, Richard Trumka, the head of the AFL-CIO, represented his union poorly on television this weekend. Well, first of all, dumbass, the AFL-CIO isn't a union. It is a group of unions.
Oh, my God.
And I imagine one of the reasons that Julius Geezer hates the AFL-CIO. You know, of course, that the NFLPA, the National Football League Players Association, is a member of the AFL-CIO.
Oh, yeah, he doesn't like that.
So, anyway, Richard Trumka, the head of the AFL-CIO, represented his union poorly on television this weekend. Some of the things he said were so against the working men and women of our country and the success of the U.S., itself, that it is easy to see why unions are doing so poorly. A dem. Shut the fuck up, you ignorant piece of shit. Okay. You know what pissed him off? On Fox News, Richard Trumka said that the so-called overhaul of NAFTA should include Canada. And then he said the things that he's done to hurt workers outpace what he's done to help workers. And that's the damn truth. And but of course the Spirochetes weren't having any of it, and so he had a butt hurt sad. But it's been a weekend of butt hurt, Tracy. I don't know if you noticed, but
has he tweeted anything about the funerals, about what people said about him?
No, you know, somehow or another, they've kept him from doing it. I don't know how. I'm guessing massive doses of medication.
Thorazine.
A little Thorazine dart in the neck never hurt anybody. When Meghan McCain, with whom I seldom agree on anything,
can't stand her, but she nailed it.
And nailed him. I mean, she nailed him to the door like Martin Luther nailing up his theses. I mean, she just whack, 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 you know. My father's America doesn't need to be great again because my father's
great
America
again.
Has always been great.
It's always been great.
Just burned him. I mean, it was a tough Friday and Saturday for Donald Trump. I mean, he had to be wearing his asbestos underwear, otherwise he burnt down to the balls, or whatever those things are anymore. But when when Meghan McCain said what she said, the butt hurt white wing went into full on. I mean, they called the wambulance in a big way, and they accused Meghan McCain of being, wait for it, we're talking about maggots here, trashy.
Oh, no.
They accused Meghan McCain of being trashy. Now these are the people who show up to his rallies with T-shirts saying he can grab mine anytime, or wearing their Donald fucking Trump T-shirts. Yeah.
And they call it trash. But Did you say anything about Bush? Because he mailed them too.
See, that's a maggot thing. You always attack the woman.
Yep.
It's their MO.
What's killing me, I couldn't watch the funeral, the memorial service, because I was driving and I was working, but I was like listening to it on the radio. And, we were going back and forth with messages Saturday. And that message was, wait a minute, what did I invite you? Did she just go off? Did she just diss Donald Trump? That was the first one. And then she went on about, what else did she say? The whole thing, the last part of her speech was just, I'm going to fuck with Donald Trump. But like how much of an asshole do you have to be to not be invited? Wait a minute, isn't it three funerals? Wasn't he not invited to Nancy Reagan's funeral?
I don't remember.
Because when did Nancy Reagan die? Not that it didn't come soon enough, but let's see, Nancy. Because was he in office when she died?
See, I'm having a hard time pulling that together.
Okay, no, she died before the election. She died in March 3rd.
Okay.
But I don't think I think Hillary Clinton was at the funeral, but he wasn't. I'm trying to remember if he was invited or if he was not invited. But like he said, the guy said, I forgot the fact that he wasn't invited to Barbara Bush's funeral. I forgot about that. You're a sitting president. You're the sitting president, and people don't even want you at the funeral.
It says something.
That's bad. That says a lot. That says so much. There was 4,000 people at John McCain's funeral Saturday, and he wasn't one of them.
Well, just for the fun of it here, let me see, see if I can cue that audio up so other people can hear it, because I laughed my ass off when I heard it. Working. We'll get there. Ah, here it is. Yeah. Just take a sec.
Anybody want to tell me what kind of special jackass you got to be not to get invited to two damn funerals? First Barbara Bush, now John McCain. You done took jackass to a whole nother level. When dead people don't even like you, any and everybody can come to the damn funeral except Trump the dump. all the Bushes gonna be there. George Bush Sr., George W. Bush, Reggie Bush, Tyrone Bush. Tyrone, he on the other Bush side of the family.
That's who else gonna be there? Your favorite person in the world, Donald Trump.
That's right.
Mr. No Drama Obama for your mama. That's right. He gonna be at the funeral in the VIP section with me and my crew sipping champagne, eating caviar, stuff like that. Damn shame. Any and everybody can show up to this damn funeral except Donald damn Trump. Suge Knight, the Menendez brothers, Darth Vader, the damn shark from Jaws can show up to this damn funeral, and he be more welcome than Donald damn Trump.
I'm gonna shame people wake up out dead to make sure your ass don't come to the funeral. Family. I did my best. Now I have to take my rest. Oh, wait a minute. I almost forgot. You tell that Dorito-faced, albino fox head bastard Donald Trump his ass better not come to my damn funeral. If I catch him at my funeral, the shit going down. If he show up, I'm going to blow up. Matter of fact, put my pistol in my casket with me, and I'll make sure I tell the Undertaker don't close my eyes. I'm going to sit there with my eyes open to make sure his ass don't come. Because I'm telling you, it's going to be some problems up in that bitch.
What? Who want to come to my funeral? Charles Manson? Yeah, I ain't got no problem with Charles. But you tell Donald his ass bet not show up.
My God. The shark from Jaws. That's the first time I saw it, that's where I came apart. Suge Knight, the Menendez brothers, the shark
the
from
Menendez
Jaws.
Brothers, Suge Knight.
Oh, God. That's Shuler King, by the way. And I gotta see if I can find some more. That's funny. That's good.
So I found the guest list for Nancy Reagan's funeral. First Lady Michelle Obama, former President George W. Bush and his wife, former First Lady Laura Bush, former First Lady Rosalynn Carter, and former First Lady Hillary Clinton were in attendance. President Barack Obama did not attend a set speaking in Texas. California Governor Jerry Brown, former Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, and Minority Leader of the U.S. House of Representatives Nancy Pelosi were seen at the private service. Former Prime Minister of Canada Brian Mulroney, who served while Ronald Reagan was president, attended. Children of former presidents in attendance, including President John F. Kennedy's daughter, Caroline Kennedy, President Lyndon Johnson's daughters, Linda Johnson and Lucy Baines Johnson, President Gerald Ford's son, Stephen Ford, and President Richard Nixon's daughter, Tricia Nixon Cox. Trump and Melania were not invited to
the funeral. And you know, I just got a note from Renee in D.C., and Renee says, just a note on the fakery of Jarvanka in action. They get a fake invite from Lindsay Fairweather friend Graham only to phone in their attendance while role-playing as surrogates to the bone spur, bad fairy, Mandarin Maleficent. Oh, that's good. Wait a minute.
Ooh.
Let's run through that. Let's see that in slow-mo. The bone spur, bad fairy, Mandarin Maleficent, who's not invited and spitefully downplays John McCain's service. Oh, Renee, that was... Restaurant quality is what that was. Restaurant quality. Brother Deacon Asa, by the way, Tracy says, this just proves that the deep state is conspiring to keep Trump out of all the funerals. Hey, could that be a new cultural thing? People putting in their will, you know how wills are, you know, being of sound mind and body, but sound mind but worn out body, you know, blah, blah, blah. And knowing that I must face my just desserts and the long home and worm food and blah, and don't you dare let that goddamn Donald Trump or any member of the Trump family near my union, my funeral. Could that be a new cultural thing? Could that be a trend?
I think
not at my, you know, maybe hashtag not at my funeral, or no Trumps at my funeral.
What is it? Not in my backyard.
Yeah, so NIMBY.
Yeah. The NIMBY, so, you know, not
NAMF.
At my funeral.
NAMF, not at my funeral.
This is the thing. You know, I know he's a, you know, narcissist, a megalomaniac, and all these things. But how? There's a little part of, very small, I'm lying, I'm about to say there's a part of me that feels sorry for him. No, I don't.
No. But it's not there.
How is it self-absorbed can you be that knowing for, nobody likes you except for, you know, skinheads, Nazis, white supremacists, or white nationalists, but that no one, can stand, the people hate you so much that they don't want you at their funeral.
Well, maybe that can be a thing. Hashtag NAMF, not at my funeral.
It's like, you know, just don't come, don't even, you know, like, you know, Michael Eric Dyson said about Aretha with in regards to Trump. When he say, he didn't say it, but this is basic. Don't even fix your mouth. You can't, don't even mention or utter our queen's name. Don't even say her name because, you know, sully her name by even saying her name. It's just.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, you know, it's so funny because I asked you this morning, you know, everybody's been going on and on the news about, you know, John McCain's funeral and, you know, Obama taking him down, Meghan McCain taking him down, Trump, Bush taking him down. But isn't it funny? I mean, like I said, I didn't watch the morning shows yesterday because I was working. But, and I've been watching the news too, but, and they've mentioned stuff about Meghan McCain and all that, but not one, has he met to hear one person, one news report about Michael Eric Dyson taking Trump down. And I wonder why. Is it because it was a black man that took him down?
No, I think it's because it had. I mean, I'm trying not to be all paranoid here.
I'm trying not to be paranoid either, but
I think it's because it happened late on a Friday. That's
true.
Because remember, that's where the news goes to die.
That's true.
And so it happens late on a Friday, and then it gets. It did. You know, there was mention on Saturday morning, but after that, the news cycle can't keep up anymore.
That's true. But they're still talking about McCain's funeral.
Well, that's because it was going on. That's because it went on Friday and Saturday and Sunday. You know, they finally buried him yesterday in a private ceremony at the Naval Academy.
True. Did they bury Aretha yet? Because I know. What time did they get to the cemetery? That's my next.
Well, that all depends. That all depends on you know whether the last hymn's been sung over the grave. You know, you're the authority on that, not me. I'm not going to go there.
Well, like I said, I told you when my pastor, former pastor, died. By the time they got to the cemetery, it was damn near dark. I didn't go to the cemetery. I stayed at the church, but it was damn near dark. As a matter of fact, they. I was told that once they got to the cemetery, they had a white horse and carriage to put, you know, they put him in that, and then they, you know, took him to his grave site in the horse and carriage. I'm like, horse-drawn hearse. I'm like, okay. I can't be with all of that, but no. I knew her funeral was going to go long. I sent you that article by the brother that, you know, that said they had to order a service and it was supposed to start at 10 and be over by 3. And the brother's like, that's if it started on time. Now, I'm trying to think, have I ever gone to a black funeral that started on time? My grandmother's funeral started on time. I'm really, because my mother wouldn't have had it any other way. But a lot of times, funerals, like the funerals, don't even start on time. I've never understood that. And that's why it was so amazing. Like I'm watching when I was listening to John McCain's funeral, and I was so happy for them. I'm like, wow, the funeral started on time, and they were done in 2 hours. Done, everything. I was like, wow, that's impressive. But like you said, what did you say that, you know? Because I felt gypped. I was just like, wow. It's over already. Nobody threw their body on the casket and fell out or anything like that. And I'm like, man, y'all don't know how to have a funeral.
No, we don't. No, we don't. We tuck it all in and we bury it deep and you know, act like we got no soul.
Yeah. Lowry seasoning salt. That's what, you guys just need some Lowry. But you use Lowry seasoning salt, don't you?
Sure. And I'll take it a step further, because what I love, what I love is Tony Sachery's, because it's got some fire to it too.
What is it? What did you call it? What's the name of it?
Tony Sachery's.
I never heard of that.
It's kind of green cardboard can in the spice section over by the Lowry's. And it's a Louisiana thing, and it brings a boatload.
Oh,
some of that on some of the Tony Sachery's on deviled eggs. Whoa! Of course, the other thing that I'll use a lot instead of because I haven't found anything that it's not good on is Old Bay. When you do your corn on the cob and you got it all buttery and everything, instead of just hitting it with the salt, blast it with the Old Bay, and you'll never use anything else.
Really? I never even thought of using that just as a seasoning. But now that I think about it, that would make a really good seasoning.
It works. Works real, real well.
I don't have Old Bay. I have Kroger's, whatever, Chesapeake Bay or whatever brand seasoning or whatever, which is just as good as the old. I mean, I like it. I've used it on stuff when I made something.
A minute ago, Tracy, you mentioned there wasn't anybody throwing themselves on the casket at McCain's funeral. Can you take me down that road for a minute? Help a white boy out?
Well, let's see. I've been to at least two funerals where, some funerals you have the viewing of the body before the funeral, and some funerals is after the funeral, after the service, as you're leaving the church. There's been times where it's an overwrought relative as they're approaching the casket gets so overwhelmed by their grief or the other just showing out, and they just throw their bodies on the casket, on top of the dead relative, and just, start crying uncontrollably, so much so that people actually had to physically lift them up and away from their casket. Yeah, that happened.
Okay, so, all right, I got you now. Because I got a clip here, but I got to give a cowbell to Laurel, up in southwest Minnesota. Laurel, of course, comes from Scandinavian stock, and he said, "I'll let Trump attend my Viking funeral on one condition: he has to ride in the boat." Yeah, you got the reference, right?
Yeah, funeral. Don't they set the people on fire and send them out to sea?
Yeah, set the whole boat on fire. Mm-hmm. By the way, Steve from Georgistan says, "America's always been great." Trump's tweet. Shortly after Meghan made her "America's always been great again" comment, the orange goober had to hurry up and tweet, "Make America great again." He always has to get in the last jab. This goof has the mentality of a 5-year-old, and I think that's selling the 5-year-old short. So I queued up this clip because when you said that about, nobody throwing themselves at the casket, Richard Pryor, this.
If I have to die, which I imagine I will, I don't imagine it, I just know I'm going to have to. I want to die like my father. My father died fucking. He did, man. He was 57, woman was 18. He came and went at the same time. Did nobody cry at his funeral? Everybody said, "Lucky motherfucker." And nobody else would fuck the woman for 2 years either. Said, "No, I don't want none of that pussy. Thank you. No. No." And you know, I noticed that there's a difference in funerals. Like,
here we
white
go.
People have funerals. They love they dearly departed, but their funerals be different. They don't give it up easy. You know, they hold their shit in until they get home. Maybe they go, they faint. They get at a funeral. Black people let it hang out right up. Take me away. Then they fall on your ass. They don't never faint. They just lean on your ass. You got to carry them to the car and just say, bitch, get up.
That sound about right?
Yep. Right there.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, Jesus, don't kill me, don't kill me, don't kill me.
Yeah, it's, I mean, like I said, and normally, and usually the person that usually falls out the hardest is the one that did the person that died the worst. Did you ever see, what was that movie, Imitation of Life?
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, those movies that they made back in the day where, you know, the tragic mulatto or light-skinned black woman who could pass for white, and you know, because it was so terrible being black, so, you know, she wanted to be white. And at the end, you know, and of course she had a dark-skinned mother and she denied being black and all this. And at the end, they have this big funeral that only black people could have, you know, with the horse-drawn hearse and all that. And she comes, you know, because she had left her, ran away from her mother and wanted to live as a white woman. She comes running, you know, at the funeral processional, and she throws herself on the, you know, hearse. Oh, mommy, mommy, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. What have I done? I love you, mom. I love you. I'm like, bitch, please. So, yeah.
Yeah, and well, the you know, the white people go home and you gotta understand, Richard Pryor for me was, I mean, he wasn't a religious figure, but he was damn near a prophet. The great comedians always are, and so you gotta form a picture of, you know, little 19-year-old Bob. Sitting down at the river, probably getting high with his buddies, and we got Richard Pryor 8-tracks running.
Eight track tape.
Yes, click click. Yeah, I mean that's such an influence, and I, you know, can a comedian get away with what he got away with? I don't know anymore.
Well, it was like
I think about that all the time.
Would there ever be, because in times like this, and with racial tensions like they are, and the world that we live in, we could never, I don't think there could ever be another Richard Pryor or Red Fox or even Eddie Murphy. The things that they said back then, you couldn't, because I hate to say about, you know, people becoming too sensitive, because then I sound like a Republican. Oh, you guys are just so sensitive and politically
correct.
No,
but you couldn't. No, but you couldn't. You couldn't do the stuff that Richard did on TV. You know, Isaac tweeted me a couple of links along the way. I had forgotten that Richard had a standalone TV show.
Yes.
And
he
does, and Isaac sent it along. That there's a bit he does on a TV evangelist that is, and you know, full on prosperity gospel hadn't got hold yet, and it's like prophecy. It's worth looking up. It's on YouTube.
Was it him and Chevy Chase? Was it on Saturday Night Live or on his show?
Oh no, that was Saturday Night Live where they did the word association.
Right. You can't even, Mel Brooks couldn't even make Blazing Saddles today.
No.
He couldn't make Blazing Saddles today. And Blazing Saddles is one of my favorite movies of all time. But here's a note. So one day, a few years ago, I was channel surfing, and Blazing Saddles was on the comedy, came on Comedy Central. And, of course, you know, they have to, you know, bleep out a lot of stuff. So I'm watching it. Now, here's what I was like, really? This is what you bleep out. They bleep out the farting, so you couldn't hear them fart, but they left their nigga.
Yeah, it's weird. I mean,
I'm like, so it's terrible to hear people farting.
Yeah, which completely ruins the campfire scene. Because that scene is nothing but farts.
It's nothing but farts. They don't, until Slim Pickens comes in, what in the wild, wild world of sports is going, you know, that you guys have had enough beans, you know. But, like, that whole scene is just important. That's the whole scene. So on Comedy Central, you just see them, you know, raising up. And so if you've never seen a movie before, you have no idea what's going on. You could probably assume, you know, because you see them eating beans, but like you said, that whole scene is silent other than the farting. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
You leave out, you know, leaving your nigga, but bleep out farting. Okay.
Yeah. Right.
Yes. I just.
And of course, Richard Pryor wrote most of Blazing Saddles.
Blazing Saddles, and was supposed to be in Blazing Saddles.
But they chose Cleavon Little because he was more telegenic and audiences would, yeah, right. They were afraid Richard was a little too rough around
too
the
black.
Edges.
And too blue. What was that? Why do they call it blue comedy?
You know, I don't know. We'll have to look that up.
You know what? There's something I wanted to ask you. And I remember back when I said Indian Summer, and you told me, ooh, not a good thing to say. Why is it racist? Because I've been trying to find it. Because somebody on the news today said Indian Summer, and I'm like, ooh, I'm telling Bob.
Because in white colonialist terms, any time white culture appended the word Indian to a phrase, it means false. Indian
like
giver,
Indian, giver and stuff.
Indian summer. There are around here. There are these little roots that grow. They're called Indian turnips, and they hurt you. It to merely take a bite of it will make it feel like needles are going through your tongue, and it's called an Indian turnip. Anything that was false, anything that was deceptive, anything that was. White colonizers put Indian in front of it. It was a word. It was a way of further dehumanizing the indigenous population of this continent.
I thought so because I've been meaning to ask you this for a while. Because when I Googled it, it was so funny. I don't know what made me Google it. I think it was the other day a while ago when somebody mentioned me saying something about it. And so I Googled it and people, they couldn't come up with they kind of skirted around it as to why, but it wasn't a decent enough explanation for me. So I'm like, and I've been meaning, I kid you not, Bob, I had a meaning to ask you this for months, but I have, like I said, the memory of a special needs gnat. So if I don't say it as soon as I think about it, it's gone. And then, of course, after I get off the phone, I'm like, fuck.
Yeah, that's what. And see, we do that with language when we're trying to dehumanize somebody else. For instance, in England, the English referred to venereal disease as the French pox.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Seriously? Well, like you said, if you want to dehumanize, the best way to dehumanize people is to, like, you know.
Well, if you're subtle,
to make them less than.
Well, and you got to be subtle about it, and you let it just worm its way through the culture.
Well, it's like the whole thing about, you know, the Washington Redskins, And this is why I love it when white people say, well, it's not racist. It's not derogatory. Who are you to tell the people who are being...
Precisely.
You
don't get to make that determination. Right.
You don't get to make that determination. You don't get to make that determination if you say something insulting to me. And I tell you, when I tell you that if you've insulted me or my race or my culture or my gender or whatever the case, I'm telling you this to your face. That you've insulted me. The only thing you should do, well, I didn't, you know, that half act, well, I didn't mean to offend you.
Yeah, which is different from, like, no, at least that's straight up. At least it's straight up, because that's a far cry from what, you know, the Republican non-apology apology. I'm sorry if anyone was offended. That puts the burden on
meant.
The offended
that's,
part.
Yeah.
I'm sorry
right,
I offended
exactly,
you
right.
as a straight-up apology. I'm sorry if you were offended puts the burden on the offended person. And
that's
it's sort
I
of like...
I'm sorry if you were offended.
Yeah, how dare you be offended by my offensive behavior?
Right. And it's like, no. You offended me. So take responsibility for that. And not only take responsibility for it, but don't do it again. Because like I said, when I said offend Indian Summer... I had no idea, because there are instances where people say offensive things, not realizing that what they said was offensive. Because, like you said, it's part, especially when it becomes part of their.
And that's what makes it pernicious. And I catch okay. Here's one. This is one I heard growing up. Now you know, in the Second World War, with the Japanese invasion of China. China had basically no way to resist. They were largely helpless. And they certainly, you know, the Empire of Japan had a magnificent air force. I mean, it was state of the art. You know, they flew circles around us until we ramped ours up. So they had no air force, so I grew up with, and my parents were completely unaware of what they were saying. If something was described as being improbable to the level of impossibility,
mm-hmm.
you know, for instance, if his hair is real, I'm a Chinese aviator.
Ooh.
My parents didn't mean anything by it.
And no, they didn't mean anything.
And it came across funny, but that's the way it insinuates, or harder than Chinese arithmetic.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, it's the same thing as when people say, I can't still believe, because I think I've caught Jan saying it a couple of times, Oriental. You know, it's like...
Yeah, that's supposed to be gone. And frankly, Orient means East, and Occident means West, and if you're talking on a round planet, on a planetary basis, it ultimately means nothing.
Nothing.
Because to be Oriental is to be someone who lives in the East, but, you know, if you're leaving San Francisco and you go East to get to China, you're one screwed up individual. Asian is a more accurate description because it references a continent and not a direction. Jesus Christ,
exactly.
people living on the island of Manhattan are Oriental as compared to people in Los Angeles.
Right, because it's to the east.
So it's a case of the language not doing its job. By the way, we're close to wrapping up, and I wanted to run something past you. Just a reminder, because it's labor, you know, it doesn't have anything to do with labor directly, but you know, from time to time, I do try to mention the fact that Flint still does not have clean water, and the free water access was turned off back in April.
Yeah. Remember, I told you Judge Mathis said something about that at Aretha's funeral.
Yeah. So
none of this stuff made the news. That, by the way, that pisses me off. But go ahead.
So I want to encourage people to go over to my Facebook page. I shared a video today about a place here in my county where people are and have been for decades now poisoned to death because of a toxic waste site. It's called Minden. And then there's another fracking waste injection site in a place called Lochgelly. But Minden is a horror and a nightmare. And there's a brief video documentary over on my Facebook page that you can go and watch. And it should give people the horrors. Because this is happening a stone's throw, for instance, from where the mostly white Boy Scouts gather every 4 years for their jamboree. Trump was there, you might recall, in 2017.
Yeah, I remember that.
This county's got tens of thousands of scouts running around it, and they're jamboreeing practically within hollering distance of a site that just kills people to even live there. And further down, there's an area of Fayette County, West Virginia, called Kincaid, oddly enough.
Hey!
And there's a public service district there called the Page-Kincaid Public Service District, Tracy. The people who rely on water from the Page-Kincaid Public Service District have not had water to drink or cook with or bathe in for 2 weeks. No water. The public service district has been as useless as tits on a boar. And so
nobody's doing anything about it.
So one of the groups that has fought mountaintop removal for so long is carrying water to the people in Page Kincaid. Because state government won't. God knows the federal government won't. And so people who are themselves affected by mountaintop removal are carrying water to people who, incidentally, live at the foot of a mountaintop removal complex that when it was being permitted, we practically stood on our heads and screamed, "Good God, you're permitting this," and it's sitting on top, it's sitting right over top of people's drinking water.
It doesn't matter because money.
Right. Because coal. Because shareholders. Because Wall Street. Because CEOs and COOs and CFOs. And because banks. But meanwhile, for 2 weeks, people in a little community in my county have not had water.
And they're saying
it's because of, you know, it's iron or something. Bullshit.
Bullshit.
It's because they're sitting next to a toxic waste site in the form of a mountaintop removal operation. And hey, here's a fun part. Some of the people who live around there work on that mountaintop removal site. I mean, I remember when they had a community meeting about it, and I went over and me and a few others got run out of the meeting because the people who lived there only showed up because the coal company promised to give away things like toolboxes and tool kits and big screen TVs.
Well, isn't that like kind of like with that? What was that show that was really good about was it The Outsiders? What was it called?
Outsiders, yeah.
Outsiders, and didn't they kind of have the same? It was the episode when they had the same kind of meeting about, you know, and the coal company came in and, you know, were promising jobs and stuff like
right.
that, and the
yep.
people from like the, you know, from kind of like you
people
guys
gonna
are,
make $60,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and last I checked, that outfit that's blowing up that mountain. And you can even see it from the Walmart parking lot. in Fayetteville, West Virginia, which is right smack dab. I mean, we're a tourism economy, and we've got two toxic waste sites. Wow. Really?
Wow.
One of the trailheads for one of the rail trails through the national park begins in Minden, where the toxic waste site is, where people are dying of cancer. Like 60% of the people who live there have either died from or dealt with cancer. Oh, and by the way, it will probably come as no surprise to you if I point out that most of the people who live on the toxic waste site are, Tracy fills in the blank.
People of color?
Bingo! Yeah, I could have said Tracy fills in the black.
Well, you know, people forget about, you know, environmental racism. There's that.
Well, and that's why little white wingers get so absolutely apoplectically out of their minds if you bring up the topic of environmental justice. Because most environmental degradation, most cancer clusters, most sacrifice zones, well, they're not happening where there's a skyscraper on Fifth Avenue in Manhattan.
Well, we did have to, was it a year ago, last year, whatever, when they had that horrible gas leak up in Porter Ranch, which is a very influential. See, you know.
Yeah, that got solved, didn't it?
It got solved quick bang in a hurry, whereas there was a battery manufacturing plant. I guess it was either in Vernon or Bell or one of those, you know, very industrial cities where the majority of the people who live there are Hispanic. And it's been like, I don't know, 5-6 years since they closed down this battery plant out. And the people are still, it took them forever to finally close down the plant.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, and now they're still waiting for them to do the cleanup.
And remember, the Trump administration wants to build a concentration camp in Texas on a toxic waste site and put the kidnap victims there.
Oh, speaking of the Trump administration and keeping people against their will, you know, in prisons, I was listening to the news the other day. The private prison industry, they are booming. They made profits this last quarter in the billions.
It's absolutely a big dollar. Hey, Tracy, I do have to get out of here, though.
You got
to
go.
We're two minutes over, but I thank you for the wonderful conversation. I really do.
To me,
I'm sorry, what?
I said, thank you for listening to me ramble.
Oh, you didn't ramble. That's what this is what conversation radio is about, and I appreciate it. And I thank you for joining me to just kind of wander around and look into the news, because oddly enough, we find our way into some meaning once in a while. Tracy, have a good evening.
Yes, you do.
Happy Labor Day.
Bye.
Bye now.
You too.
And happy Labor Day, everybody. Thank you. You know, thank you to the generations of working people who made Labor Day possible. In their thousands. I've been thinking I tried to be deliberately mindful all weekend long, and especially today. You know, a Donald Trump will never know how much went into the creation, the recognition of a Labor Day. Because they don't care. This is a hated holiday for anti-labor Republicans, not just Trump pansies and maggots. That's why it has to be. That's why it always has to be transformed into a holiday where we do anything but think about working people. So mindfulness, always mindfulness. As we close the program, I will note that we pulled up $100 short on Shirley's challenge. Hopefully, that will be met by the overnight crew taking the podcast. And if so, I will report tomorrow happily at that. Thank you very kindly to Laborman and Ralphs and our anonymous friend who put forward the Shirley's Challenge on the first day of every month. Thank you so much. Thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time engaged in this little conversation. Thank you to those of you who keep the program on the air. Month by month. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, whiterosesociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all.